chapter number 1. Find that in your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 1, and just hold it there. In our Wednesday night Bible studies of late, we have been discussing 1 Corinthians, and we've come to 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, studying the gifts of the Spirit, and have had some good discussions about the gifts of faith and miracles and healing and tongues and prophecy and what have you. And I find in the Bible that 1,000 years before the birth of Jesus, 1,000 years before Pentecost, David gave a prophecy in the 2nd chapter of Psalms, and he said these words, "I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." Let me say that again, and I want to make a clarification. In David's prophecy, these are words, "I will declare the decree. The Lord, God the Father, hath said unto me, Jesus, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." Then I come to the 13th chapter of the book of Acts. Jesus has been crucified, buried, has arisen, ascended into heaven, has sent the Holy Ghost. Some years have passed. We have the record of Paul preaching a sermon in Antioch, in Pisidia. And the Bible tells me that he was preaching the sermon of justification by faith. And in the course of his sermon, he mentioned this: the crucifixion of Jesus, his burial, and his resurrection. Paul was preaching the gospel. That's the gospel message. Jesus died, he was buried, and he arose again. That is the gospel. And in the course of his sermon, or in his preaching there in Antioch, he said these words, "And we declare unto you glad tidings, words of David, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the 2nd Psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." Here in today's scripture, Hebrews chapter number 1, words that were written some 20 years after Paul's sermon recorded in Acts 13, the writer mentions the same great plan of salvation, and I'm going to read from the first chapter of the first verse. "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee?" I'm going to conclude the reading of the scriptures at that part, but let me just mention this to begin with. In Psalms, the words were a prophecy, looking forward to the day that the Lord would make his appearance in this world, the Lord's miracle birth. In the book of Acts, we find the words are part of the gospel sermon that I mentioned of Paul, looking forward to, that David was looking forward to the time of the miracle birth. And in Acts, in Paul's sermon, he is preaching concerning the necessity of accepting this Christ as personal Savior, as the promised Messiah, as the Redeemer of mankind. He said, really saying, he came to save us. Aren't you glad? Then in Hebrews, some Jewish believers were wavering in their faith. Some false prophets had gotten in. Some of the believers, Jewish believers, had begun to falter and fail and leave their first love. And because of that, they were being taught and they were embracing this theory: we are partially saved by faith and partially saved by the law. I want everyone to understand today, we are saved by grace through faith alone. Not by works, lest any man should boast. And so in Hebrews, he's reminding us that salvation is in Christ and in only Christ, in Him alone. In all three instances, David, Paul, and the writer to the Hebrews used these words, "Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee." That statement is tremendous. I had my notes, I thought, and I was reading through it again, and I'm going over it and meditating upon it, and I thought, man, there's a whole lot of sermon material in that statement. "Thou art my servant." And I could think of many things that go along with that. I want you to know something to begin with. God had a son. His name is Jesus. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. He was born of a virgin. There was a particular day when He was born. A particular day when He was conceived. And a day when He was born. "Thou art my servant. This day have I begotten thee." And I thought there are those two words that I really would like to use as a sermon thought today, this day. I went through the course book. I'm not going to ask you to get the course book out, but course number 4 says, "All day long I've been with Jesus." And as I thought about that going through the course book, I thought, brother, if that's your testimony, all day long I've been with Jesus, if that's your testimony every day, you're on your way to heaven. Amen. Amen. Course number 16 says, "Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before." And course number 54 says, "I love Him better every day." If every day is sweeter than the day before, and you love Him better every day, brother, you're growing. You're getting closer and closer and closer to being more like Jesus. Amen. Verse course number 149 says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Course number 163 says, or number 99 says, "Just any day now, our Lord is coming." 163 says, "What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see." Let me leave this with you today. Whatever the circumstances of life, whatever comes your way, I can tell you this, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Brother Jones, you don't know what I'm going through. I surely don't. But I know we can rejoice in the Lord. I read a book one time, I believe the writer's name was Heal, and I'm not sure of that. But he mentioned about whatever it is, rejoice because it's happening. I disagree with him. I don't rejoice when I hear that some of my church members are suffering. I don't rejoice about the suffering, but I rejoice in the fact that God's still on the scene. And He loves us. And He's able to take care of and meet every need. Rejoice. This is the day the Lord has made. So I want to preach. This day. This day. No doubt everyone's familiar with the story of Joshua and the children of Israel when they were fighting a battle against the enemy and they almost had it won and things were winding down and it looked like victory was theirs and Joshua realized we don't have any night fighters. Sun's going down. If we just had some more time. And the Bible says that Joshua said, "Son, stand still." Now, I want you to think about it. The more I've thought about that this week, to me, that's, other than a spiritual miracle of salvation and whatever, that's the greatest miracle outlined in the Bible. Think about it. To me, that's greater than the plagues upon Egypt. That's greater than the opening of the Red Sea. That's greater than water from the rock. That's greater than the light, the pillar of the light, the pillar of the fire, the pillar of the cloud. That's greater than that. He said, "Son, stand still." He was taking care of the whole universe. Amen. And the next word says, "And the sun stood still." Man, that ought to cause something goosebumps on the back of your neck. The sun stood still. I read on in the Scripture and it says, so the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down by about a whole day, and there was no day like that before it or after it. And I say, amen. It was a day to be remembered. A day like no other day in history. A day like mankind has never known. And he said it will be remembered. And I want you to know it's been 3,500 years. And we're still remembering it today because there's never been a day like it. So I would like to use for my sermon title today, Days to Remember. Now I want to begin with Genesis chapter 1. After God had created the material universe, the Bible says, God said, let us make man in our image. Let's make man after our likeness. Speaking to his son. Then we're told in the second chapter that after it said that, we see how it all came about. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. What do you say, preacher? I would like you to know this is the first day of human history. It's the day of Adam's creation. You could call it his birthday. A special day. I read on, I came to the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis, and I found that Adam and Eve had a son by the name of Cain. They named him Cain. The first son to ever be born. The first child to ever be born. And on a particular day, Cain was born of Adam and Eve. I read on. I found that there came a time in the book of Genesis that Abraham and Sarah had a son promised by God, and they named him Isaac. And the day of his birth was a tremendous time because Sarah's 90 years of age and Abraham's 100. And to embrace a baby child, a baby, newborn, their own, the birth of Isaac. I read on and I read about a boy, a man named Joseph. And there came a time when his father and mother, Jacob and Rachel cried out to her husband and said, I'll use my own language. Honey, give me some children. Or life is not worth living. Give me children or I die. And God opened a womb and gave her a son, and she named him Joseph, her first son. I read about Zacharias and Elizabeth in the New Testament. Having had no children, he's a priest. He goes to the temple in Jerusalem and carries out his duties from time to time as a priest in the household of God. And God spoke to him and let him know you're going to have a son. Told him what to call him. Call him John. And John the Baptist was born when they were up in age. It looked as if they could have no children. Let me tell you something. The day of your birth is an important day. You've got a lot of papers in your house. If you're like our house. Some of them are important. But the one that has been the most important probably in your lifetime is your birth certificate. Let me just leave a thought. Most of you know I went to the hospital Tuesday morning. First thing they did, get my name. I told my name and they wondered how old I was. What my birthday was. They put it on a thing and put it on your arm. Give you an armband. And then when they admitted me to the hospital that afternoon and spent the night and the next day, every time they came in to give me one pill, they had to check my armband to see what my birthday was. Every time they gave me a shot, and they gave me three extras, because the lady couldn't find the vein. I got 7 plus 3 extras. Every time they gave a shot, they had to check my armband to see my date of birth. They asked me, what's your date of birth? They checked to see if I'm who I think I am. I went to get an EKG to check the armband, your date of birth. Echogram, check your armband. Get a X-ray, check your... They did it every time they did anything except when they brought the food in. And if you're on a saltless diet, and nothing tastes good, I can understand why they don't need to check that. But your birth date is important. And I thought it's so important. I never knew they did that maybe until last year. We hadn't been around the hospitals much by ourselves in the hospitals until my wife had surgery last year. And every Norfolk, every time almost they walked in the room to do anything, they were checking. I thought, that's good. That's wise. If they give you a Tylenol, check you, well, how old are you? When were you born? I leave this with you today. That is important. I want to go to the second point. There's another important day, and that's when you were born again. I can look back in my life today, and a lot of days that I lived up until that time had not very much importance. A lot of it I would like to wipe out of my mind. A lot of it I would like to forget. But the day of my rebirth, the day of being born again, was an important day. I became a child of the King. I was adopted into the family of Almighty God. On that day, my name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And let me tell you something. No man can wipe it out. No man can erase it. No man can take it out of my Father's hand. I belong to God. Hallelujah. I'm a child of the King today. Why? Because I was born again. That was a special day in my life. And I believe this. I'm thankful today. And I believe throughout eternity I'll be glad that I got saved. Amen. 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 Thank God for His bountiful blessings. There was a time when Jesus was passing by Jericho, and while He was there, He met a tax collector by the name of Zacchaeus, and in the course of the conversation, He went home with Zacchaeus, and while they were there talking, He said to Zacchaeus, "This day is salvation come to thine house. This day is salvation come to thy house. Yesterday you were unsaved. Yesterday you were lost. Yesterday you were headed for hell. But today I pass through. You've accepted me as your Messiah. You've accepted me as your Savior. And this day has salvation come to your house." That was a great day. I read on in the book of John. I found in the 4th verse a similar story. There was a woman of Samaria that went to the well to draw water in the heat of the day because of her lifestyle. She was put aside. No one wanted to be with her. She lived an ungodly life. She had to go to the well alone because of the lack of friendship with the other. She was ostracized. But when she went to the well, she met a man called Jesus. Listen, he's concerned about you and me. Even though we might be ostracized from the world, He's got His eyes on us. In the course of their conversation, He talked about living water. She said, "Give me this living water that I don't come back to this well every day to draw water." And before she left there, she had something besides her water to carry in a bucket. Even she left a bucket there. She was so excited when she said to the Lord, she went home to tell others what happened. She accepted Him with living water bubbling up in her soul, rejoicing in the Lord. What are you saying, preacher? It was a new day. Having been married 5 times, no husband to please her, living with someone outside of wedlock. So much of that going on today. Some people are living in such a manner, still believe that's all right, and they're going to heaven anyhow. You live in adultery, you'll go to hell. That's plain spoken, but it's true. I'll tell you who said it, Jesus. Bible says, how did this woman went back to the city to tell what has happened? She was bubbling over. The doorbells were ringing. Why? Because it was a special day. She's found the Messiah. She's been saved. She's been forgiven. Her sins have been washed away. I thought if there was anyone today unsaved in the congregation, this is the day. I believe that woman could say, "Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. Hallelujah." I went further. I came to the 5th chapter of John. I mentioned the 4th. I come to the 5th chapter of John, and the Bible said Jesus went by the pool of Bethesda one day, and there was a lame man there that's been there for years and years and years. Had no one to seem to care for him, and when he said to the Lord, "No man cares for me," Jesus said, in essence, "I'll be the man." I want you to know, when Jesus comes by, He cares. He cares. He healed a man.
He healed the man after all these years. And the healing of the man caused a stir in the city amongst the Jews. They didn't know how to accept it. Here's a man that's been lame and not able to walk, and Jesus has come by and healed him, and they're discussing it and they're talking about it, and there's a lot going on in the city. And the Bible tells me that Jesus preached a sermon amongst the Jews and said, "Marvel not at this. Marvel not that I raised this man up from being a lame man, but for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Notice, Jesus speaks of two resurrections. The first is the day of his coming. We have just sung a chorus, or the choir, about that day. I've mentioned some courses just any day now, and what a day that will be, and maybe some others, but Jesus said there's going to be two resurrections, and he said one of them is going to be, the first one is going to be the day of his coming. The day of the rapture of the saints. And I've quoted this verse so many times, sermons and funerals and whatever, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the voice of, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Jesus is saying, there was a day of your birth. If you're a Christian, there was a day when you became born again. And there are going to be two resurrections. And he said, "Blessed are they that have part in the first resurrection." What is the first resurrection? The trumpet of the Lord's going to sound. There's going to be a voice shout out across the heavens. The graves are going to be opened, and the dead in Christ are going to come out of the graves. And you and I that are living, that love God, are going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and glad to meet God together with Him. Brother, I'm looking for that day. I might as well tell you, that's the day I'm living for. That's what I'm longing for. Amen. It cannot come too quickly for me. Amen. What's that, preacher? So much more to do. So many more to be saved. There surely is. And I'm with John the Revelator. "Even so come, Lord Jesus." There will be two resurrections, Jesus said. Blessed is he that hath part in the first. We sing the song, "Soon my Lord will call for me. What a glad reunion day. Friends and loved ones I shall see. What a glad reunion day. Some bright morning, I shall fly away." Hallelujah. What a glad reunion day. We sing that song when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be. I want you to think about it right now. Everyone in this house, if you've got a loved one that has gone on to God, that loved God, served God, lived for God, and they lived, they've done the last breath of loving God and gone on to glory, and now in the presence of the Lord, I want you to remember this. There's going to be a glad reunion day. Hallelujah. There's going to be a joining together on the other side. "With my loved ones I shall be." What a glad reunion day. Let me just run down the gamut. Grandpa Parker and Grandma Parker, on my mama's side, died Pentecostal, believers in the Lord with the victory. Grandpa and Grandma Tom Jones and Lily Jones, on my father's side, Pentecostal believers, died in the faith, lived it all of my life. Never saw from these two couples, never saw anything. Out of kilter. They would bring reproach upon the kingdom of God. Loving God, serving God, obeying God. My dad and my mom, my father-in-law and my mother-in-law have gone on to be with the Lord. I preached funeral service with Sister Starling and had part in Brother Starling's. Preached Brother Starling. Had part in my daddy's funeral. Brother Garner preached it, and I had a part in it as well, and
I did not get to preach my mother's funeral. I was at the funeral, but that was before we were in this church. They went on to glory. I got three uncles on my mother's side that were Pentecostal preachers. And their wives serving God, gone on to glory. Some of their children, Pentecostal preachers. I found out recently that one grandchild now is a Pentecostal preacher, graduated out of Emmanuel College. I've said all of that to say this. Those that have gone on to glory, having served God, what a day it's going to be. What a day it's going to be. I can't hardly fathom in my mind how wonderful. I'm saying that as humbly as I know how. I cannot tell you. I cannot fathom it. I can't get my arms around it. It's going to be a greater day than I can imagine. When all of God's children get home, when the saints go marching in, when the redeemed of the Lord are standing around about the throne, and not one of them missing, not one of God's children missing, yonder around the throne singing praises unto our God for the day. I found out tomorrow that the population of the world will reach 7 billion people. A baby is going to be born tomorrow somewhere. They tell me that we'll be the 7 billionth person alive. At one time. 7 billion. And the tragedy is, Jesus Himself said, most of them will miss it. Only a few will find the straight and narrow way and obey God. But I've made up my mind, if there's only a few, I'm going to be one of them. I'm going to say, that's relatively speaking. Doesn't mean there's just be a handful, but relatively speaking, the majority is going the other way. But what a day that's going to be. When we walk, when we go through those golden gates, pearly gates, and we walk on those golden streets, and we come to the throne of God, and we see the Lord, and we're blessed with the Lord. Brother, don't you know it's going to be a day? Man, I get excited. Somebody said, Brother Jones, watch your heart. I'm watching it. It's right with God. Amen. What a good God we're serving. I mentioned the day of your birth. That's important. The day of your second birth, being born again, that's important. I mentioned the day of the resurrection of the dead and the rapture of the saints together. That's the next on the calendar. That's an important day. In fact, as far as I'm concerned, when I look out in the future, that's the greatest day on my calendar, whenever it is. But fourthly, Jesus said there's going to be two resurrections. And there's going to be one other day. And I wish we had the house full today, but I'm glad you're here. He said there's going to be a second resurrection. There's going to be another day. Not just the rapture and the resurrection of the saints, but there's going to be another day, and it's called the Day of Judgment. And I've lived long enough to have had people to tell me, Brother Jones, I don't believe there's a heaven or a hell. I definitely don't believe there's a hell. And they say, they use this thinking. God made us all. That means we're all God's children. And inasmuch as God made us all and they claim that we're all God's children, God will surely not allow any of His children to be lost and go to hell. So, if there is a hell, it's not for man. It's just the imagination of someone's mind that they came up with a place called hell. Death ends it all. The grave ends it all. I've had people tell me that. I don't believe. You might have heard the story. I heard it on the news. This fellow that Jobs. From, is it Apple Computer? Jobs that made billions because of a brilliant mind died recently of cancer. And as he was sickly with cancer in the end of his life, he began to think about eternity. He never believed in eternity. He began to think about an afterlife. And I don't know what happened. I don't know what he did.
But from what the newscaster said, that he began to spend some time thinking about what's on the other side. Let me share something with you today. Just to realize that there's something on the other side is not enough. We've got to be prepared for what's on the other side. Jesus said there's two resurrections. And although people don't believe it in our day, and they push it aside, and they say, as long as you're religious, it doesn't make any difference what God you serve, if you're sincere. I want to burst that bubble as quickly as I possibly can. You can be, and I can be sincerely wrong. Man can be sincere in his religion and be sincerely wrong. We need to know the Lord. I'm going to read some scriptures that are sobering. Turn with me to the 20th chapter of Revelation. I'm going to read from the 11th verse. And I saw heaven, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That is not a pretty picture. I do not rejoice in preaching about hell. If I had my druthers, I'd preach on heaven every service. But I want you to stay with me here, and I'm going to close. Although that is a sobering scripture, Jesus has said there's two resurrections. If you're in the first, you'll make it to heaven. If you're in the second, you're lost. Blessed are those that part in the first. I have preached this day, the day of your birth, the day of your new birth, the day of the resurrection, the rapture, and the day of judgment. But I don't want to leave it that way. I want to leave the sermon on a high note. I hope you'll take this to heart. Not one person in this congregation this morning has to be lost. Not one person in this congregation this morning needs to stand at the judgment of Almighty God in the great white throne judgment. Not one. Not one person here today is destined to be lost. Not one person need to be in the second resurrection. Of all that are in this house right now, not one. In fact, we make up our own minds where we want to go. I am so glad, and I've mentioned it, and I know you're tired of me hearing it, but I am so glad on that Sunday, 1955, the Holy Ghost came and knocked at our hearts and said, "Won't you come?" My wife and I are standing there singing with the rest of them. When the Holy Ghost knocked, we stepped out. I don't really know exactly when I got saved. I might have got saved before I got to the altar because I'm mid-business. He said, "Will you come?" And I said, "Yes." My wife and I got saved. Of all the times of my life, looking back, that was a great day. I've told you, and our family growing up, during the Depression time, we didn't have a whole lot, but we weren't poor. If we were, we didn't know it. We didn't have a lot of gifts. We didn't get very much for Christmas. We didn't have the money. Didn't get very much of anything for our birthday. My mother and father didn't have much money, but my mother had a policy after we got 6 or 7 years old or so. Son, what kind of cake would you like for me to bake? Isn't that something? And I was, guess what I would say? Chocolate would be all right, Mom. And when supper time came, she placed the cake right in front of me. My birthday. I was allowed to cut it, have a piece, and all the rest of them eat of that cake. But that was my birthday present. And when another brother came along, his birthday, what would you like? I am glad for that day. I'm going to tell you something right now. 10 trillion years from now, come see me in my new home. I'm going to tell you something. I still thank God for that day when He came by and got me out of sin. No one here has to be at that judgment bar. No one here needs to be lost. No one here is destined for hell. No one here has to go. We can all be saved. This is the day. This is the day. This is the day. If you're not prepared to meet God, let this be the day. If you're saved, thank God for the day you got saved. Thank God for the day that's coming when the Lord shall call us out of here. Will you stand together with me? Thank God, thank God, thank God. Amen.